Hello, everybody. Welcome one more time to Differently Able Podcast, the show where differences are celebrated. This is Linnell Key.
This is Bernie Williams. Thank you again for tuning in.
Awesome. Today we have a very special guest. I believe this is the most special guest that we ever had on our show. Trinity, why don't you introduce yourself real quick?
Yes. My name is Trinity, and I'm 19 years old. I own a 501c3 nonprofit organization called From We Can't to We Can.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, Trinity, just going straight off, before you even opened up your organization, explain to us what experience did you actually have with the special needs community? What made you come to our side of the force?
Yes. So, during elementary school, I had a lot of kids in my class that had different disabilities and special needs. We had about 4 or 5 kids, just various different Asperger's, autism, Down syndrome. It ranged, spinal muscular atrophy. And this was a public school, and we just so happened to have so many kids in our district with special needs and disabilities. And so I had a passion for those kids in my class, being a best friend for them, because, you know, not too many people were friends, but I always wanted to extend the hand and be their friend. And the teachers noticed that we kind of had a connection. And so sometimes when the students with disabilities and special needs were having a hard time, instead of sending their aide or their therapist, they would oftentimes send me to go and talk to them, because I just shared this connection where we could really just find a place where we could calm down and regroup, kind of a thing. Because, you know, people with special needs and disabilities have their moments. And so I always just shared a connection with them. And as well as, I have a best friend that has spinal muscular atrophy that I met in kindergarten, and we've been best friends since kindergarten. And with being her friend, I learned the financial burdens, as well as the misrepresentation, as well as no representation in the entertainment industry. So all of those experiences in general really boosted that my involvement in the special needs community and my organization.
So Trinity, where did you get the confidence and just the, how do I put it?
Where was the
confidence and just to ignore your other peers as far as they didn't have disabilities? Because I know at times the people might say, okay, why are you hanging with the people with disabilities? So how did you do that situation?
Right. I've always had this heart where I was always sticking up for things that were right. I, for whatever reason, it was born into me. God put it in me that I would never sit down or stay silent when people really needed my voice. I had no issues at all just adapting and friending these people. There was nothing that ever held me back. I can remember one specific moment when I met my best friend in kindergarten that really kind of kicked everything off. She's in a wheelchair, and she was at recess playing hopscotch just like everyone else. And she didn't necessarily see her disability as something that was a difficulty, or she didn't let it hold her down. And so that moment in time, as a young kindergartner, I learned that disabilities don't need to be pointed and picked out. They need to be normalized. And so that experience in itself boosted my engagement with other special needs and disabilities.
Well, that's really interesting. Listen, so you're in school, you're looking at a bunch of classmates that have different special needs. And just to let you know, my son is a 13-year-old nonverbal autistic. That's how I, you know, me and Bernie ended up doing this show. So what made you do the transition from looking at your classmates, looking at your friends, their situation, and actually wanting to become a voice and an advocate by creating From We Can't to We Can't?
There was this one very, very specific time. Great question, by the way. I love questions like these. They really, I just love talking about the special needs community. So I just wanted to take this moment to thank you for this opportunity. I usually do that in the beginning, but I don't like to miss a beat when it comes to thanking and letting me represent other people. But there was a moment in time that my best friend had gone through a life or death battle back in 2014. and I had been in the hospital. She was in there for 6 months, so I was in and out in the hospital with her within those 6 months, just trying to do what I could to, you know, cheer her up and, you know, visit her. And, you know, being in a hospital for 6 months is obviously no fun and very, very, very boring. But there was one particular day that her and I were sitting in the hospital room, and there are movies lined up all against the wall. And within that split second, I realized that, you know, she was bored. She didn't have anything else to watch that motivated her or really inspired her to keep going throughout her hospital journey or anything like that. There's no Disney princess, Disney prince, or anything with representation of disabilities. And, you know, during our childhood, we always have role models that we look up to help us, you know, get through something or, you know, whatever it is. It can be something little, but those are still our role models as children. And so I, within that realization of there not being, there were little to no representation of the disability in the entertainment industry, it really just opened up my mind to fight for representation for people like my best friend, because it is something that they definitely need in order to feel inspired, in order to feel included, in order to relate to. And they don't have that, and I don't think that's fair. So I decided to go on with it and fight and advocate for representation for the disability community.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. So did her parents take right, like, to you easily when they noticed that, hey, this young lady is in my child's life? So did they take to you easy?
Absolutely. They took me under their wing like their own child, because Alexis, that's my best friend's name, Alexis was already having difficulties with having friends that understood her disability and the different things she goes through. There was times where she wasn't in school all the time. She would have to miss school for flu season, and they would ask her questions. Or sometimes, you know, her mom had to feed her because she had an aide during school and her mom was her aide. And so, you know, there was not a lot of kids that understood or, you know, really took to her because she was different. And so anybody that was her friend, her parents definitely took under their wing like their own child. I remember sleepovers and different things like that, just, you know, normalizing having a special needs and disabilities and not necessarily letting it be a burden to her and, you know, her family and the community around her. We really just uplifted her, and her parents really just, they allowed me to have this beautiful friendship with her without really hesitating at all. And I'm so grateful for that.
I mean, that's awesome, because I know even for me growing up and having a disability outside of my family, I never had those sleepovers with, you know, I guess non-disabled friends or whatever. So, you know, that's awesome that you actually got to experience that with somebody that really doesn't look like you, and you were open to, you know, just accepting that and saying, hey, you know, she's still human regardless of her disability or whatever. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, the bottom line is, you're the epitome of an inclusion model, where you don't even feel like you're doing inclusion because you're just doing it naturally. So I commend you and take my hat off to you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Let me ask you this question. If parents of children with disabilities or even individuals with disabilities go on your website, what information can they take out and to help themselves or their children? What can they learn on your site?
Definitely. The first thing that we have plastered on our front page is to call us, and if they need anything, to that we're here. We lay out our mission and everything like that. It's the first paragraph as soon as you scroll. But they learn immediately that we share stories of kids with special needs and disabilities. We create superheroes. And not only that, we make a portion of the proceeds we make from the books, we donate it back to a family in need. And right under that, we have contact us so that we can help people with special needs and disabilities. Because like I said, I learned how much of a financial burden it can be to have a special needs or disabilities. And that's unfortunate. That shouldn't be the way that it is right now. My best friend, her wheelchair costs $40,000. And that's something that it's a necessity. It's the price of a car. It can be a price of two cars. It's absolutely insane when this is a necessity in order for her to live. And so it fueled my fire, understanding that, understanding the battles that people with special needs and disabilities fight with insurance companies. You know, they can also learn a little bit about my background and what I do. They can also learn about the story of the start of me and Alexis and how the really the organization got kicked off. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, we also started our own at-home series where we interview people with special needs and disabilities. And at the end of each show, we give them anything that they ask for, gift cards, money, therapeutic items, whatever they ask for, we give it. I call it like, it's like Ellen, but it's Trinity. Okay. That's what I compare it to. So they can learn a plethora of things, but the number one thing that they can learn is that we give. That's our goal, because we know the special needs and disability community is hurting in that area. So, at one point we did have a blog where we were putting our input on things, but we really want to focus on letting people know that we give and that we host events for people with special needs and disabilities and certain things like that.
And so does your organization work with any other organizations to help, like, bring out your mission to helping people with disabilities?
Actually, I really just run this on my own. I've had some organizations sponsor me or donate to me and things like that. But as far as pairing with anyone and boosting the organization, I've really just done what I can do in boosting, you know, people like you guys helping out and boosting the organization. But no, we haven't really paired with any in particular organization to help boost each other in a sense. But we have had sponsors and things like that. Walmart has been a sponsor, and we've had different production companies and contracting companies. So we've done well as far as supporters and sponsors, but we don't necessarily work side by side with any other organization.
Okay.
Well, Differently Able Podcast is very happy to be an organization that you can come to anytime you need an ear, you need an audience, anything. We're always available. This is what we do. Now, Trinity, I just want to say that you're pretty young to have this mindset that you have. I'm very impressed. I'm just going to say it straight out. When did the organization actually come to fruition, and how long have you actually been doing this, like really hands-on?
Yes. So surprisingly, I've only run this organization for 2 years, and we've done really, really well. I started the junior year, the end of my junior year of high school. And honestly, when something's for you, when God has something for you, it just takes off, and it absolutely has. And this is my passion. And I've been working on this 24/7, honestly. Actually, back in this past year, I actually quit my part-time job because the organization was taking so much of my time. Yeah. And I wanted to help so many different families that I had to take that leap of faith and really just make this my full priority so that it could get where it is today. We've recently had Adam Joseph from ABC News actually read one of my books on his Facebook Live. So I definitely believe in taking the leap of faith and following your passion. And that's what I've been doing for the past 2 years.
So how do you deal with, I know you say you started off young as far as the last 2 years. So how do you deal with like setbacks or roadblocks that may come your way? Cause like you said, you know, just starting your own organization, you got to do it with a leap of faith when you can't even really see at the end of the tunnel yet. So you're just out there by yourself.
Absolutely. It was definitely challenging, and it still is today, because like I said, I'm a teenager. I started when I was 17 years old. And being a teenager, you still have those teenager emotions and trying to figure out life and battling those things and worrying about the future, et cetera, et cetera. But prayer and really trying to figure out, my advice is, figure out what you can do. Don't look too far in the future where you're worrying about, okay, well, if this doesn't happen, then what? You work with what you have. So wake up and work on the little things that you can fixate on now so that you can improve on that now so that in the future, it is where it's supposed to be. And I'm still working on that mindset. I still have doubts. I still have my ways of wondering, is this going to take off the way that I want it to? But all I can honestly say is to pray and keep working on at what you have. and hoping that the opportunities land where they're supposed to.
If you've been enjoying the new beats that's been coming on the beginning of the podcast and during the podcast and at the end, those beats and other music selections have been coming from Kuro Silence. That's K-U-R-O Silence, like be quiet. Now, Kuro is a music producer. He's a rapper. He's an artist. He's on YouTube and on Facebook. So just look him up. Kuro Silence. K-U-R-O, silence like be quiet. You have a good day. Okay, Trinity, this is the part of the show where we're actually going to let our listeners know exactly where to find you, find your material, find your books, find everything. So we're going to start off by saying, I bet you can't give me the exact name of your website where you listen, where our listeners can go.
My website, you want me to say my website right now?
Absolutely. This is okay. That time.
just making sure. My website is www.wecan2wecan.org. So it's wecan2wecan.org. Our social media is as follows: wecan2wecan. That's what it is for everything. We made it super simple. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we've got it all. YouTube, we've got a YouTube channel as well. It's all from We Can to We Can. Super easy to look up. And of course, if anybody wants to contact us, our email and number is right on our website, as well as any of our social media. They have all the options to contact.
Now, you mentioned that you had some books. Now, did you actually author these books, or that's on your site?
Yeah, so I author and illustrate books that feature kids with special needs and disabilities as superheroes, and they are all available on Amazon, and actually we are currently working on putting them in Barnes & Noble as well.
Awesome. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, in the near future, the website, now if you're listening to this podcast, I don't want to hear any excuses. You know exactly where to find it and how to get the information.
Oh, yeah. Just one last thing. Can you give us the phone number and the email? Because I know some people don't go to websites. They might want to just reach out to you by phone or email. So can you just give it to the audience so they could have that too?
Absolutely fine. Our number is 856-202-3955. And our email address is wecan@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Great. And listen, people that's listening to the podcast that may hear what you do, hear what your mission is, and want to help, what kind of help can you accept, from monetary to volunteers to anything that you can accept? And how can people get to you if they want to help?
Definitely. So we have our links on our website, our GoFundMe, as well as our PayPal link, since you don't need to account for that. We are always accepting donations, as we are always fighting to give out money and monetary items and therapeutic items, equipment, all those things to other families. Just over these past 3 months, I believe we almost hit the $2,500 mark within donating groceries and items and so many different things during COVID-19.
Nice.
But definitely donating is the biggest way to support us, but as well as donating is helping other people know about the organization so they can get the help they need. So sharing the word is definitely number one. Sharing our posts, talking about it, it definitely helps. So we definitely appreciate anything like this, like podcasts and things like that. So again, thank you so much for this opportunity. As far as volunteers, we are actually accepting volunteers because we have events each year. Our event this year was on hold because of COVID, but we were planning to have a fashion show for people with special needs and disabilities at our local theater. But we are going to resume that within the next year or whenever things get better. So we are always accepting volunteers, especially for our event reasons.
Awesome. Did you want to follow that, Bernie, or we good?
Nah, she pretty much.
Awesome. The next topic I want to talk about, and Trinity, like I mentioned before, you're more than welcome to stay and discuss our next topic with us. And it kind of coincides with what you're talking about. We're going to talk about representation of disabled and special needs people in movies, books, TVs, things of that nature. We're going to talk about what can we do as a community to get more representation of special needs and the correct representation of special needs. I'm going to go to Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo. It's an old movie that starred, Rob Schreiner, Schaefer, whatever his name was. And I remember a doctor that I knew was like, man, I hated that movie. I'm like, that movie was funny as hell. How did you hate that movie? What do you mean? Like, well, it was the representation of Tourette syndrome in the movie. The woman that had Tourette syndrome, she was, you know, she was cussing, she was belligerent all the time, And it was like a lot of people thanks to that movie think that that's what Tourette's is. And it's like, it's very hard once people got an image of their head of a particular disability, especially from a setting like a movie or TV show, it's very hard to bring them back to the reality of what's actually going on when it comes to special needs and disabilities. So what do you think that we can do to kind of get more correct representations in movies, in TV shows? Bernie, I'm going to start with you.
For me, I think having people like Trinity on here is great because they write books and most movies come from books.
Yep.
So that's one thing that I think about. And then I think about, you know, I think we have to try to reach these celebrities out here to share our stories. Because one movie that I think about is The Water Dance. And I stumbled on that movie maybe about 10 years or 20 years ago. And it actually has Wesley Snipes in it and Helen Hunt. Mm-hmm. And I was actually able to see people that look like me. So I just think it's, you know, we got to let them know how powerful the movies are that you're making. And it shows, you know, diversity in the entertainment industry. And, you know, it should make it more acceptable for other people to, you know, see and that, hey, these type of people go through the same thing in life that other people go through. So we should put them on, you know, the big screen often.
Awesome. Now, Trinity, how do you feel about this particular topic? And coming from the perspective of an actual author who's inclusive of the special needs community, what do you think we can do as far as community to get more representation?
Definitely. I definitely agree with Bernie, but I think that the most important thing is to have real people with special needs and disabilities in these movies to represent them best. I remember specifically Leonardo DiCaprio representing someone with special needs and I believe autism. I can't remember the name of the movie.
What's he? Gilbert Grape.
Yes, that movie.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie.
Yes. It was a great movie. He did a great job, but you know, someone with an actual disability or special needs could have played that role easily. And it would have been the perfect representation of a real life person going through that. I also agree with Bernie on the sense of real experiences. As far as what I do, I actually take local kids and listen to their stories and listen to what they've gone through, the specific things they like. And I use those things and their personalities, and I actually put them in the book. And I think that is so vital, because you can't be real, you can't have the real representation if you're not getting real stories. You can't create a perfect person with special needs and disabilities, because that's not how it works. We accept the flaws and we accept the different quirks and kicks of a person with special needs and disabilities, and that makes it real and that makes it raw. And that is how you have true representation in the entertainment industry. And that's what I do with my books. And I think that's what we, as a community, if we see something that's being misrepresented, sign a petition. Yeah. We've got all these petitions going around. If something is misrepresented or not represented in the correct way at all, we need to speak up and do something about it as a community. I don't have a special needs. I don't have special needs. I don't have someone in my family with special needs. But I saw someone, my friend, not even blood related to me, and I still decided to stand up. And I think that's what we have to do as community. Just because we can't relate to it doesn't mean we can't fight for it.
Absolutely. And one thing that you said that was very important, you don't necessarily have to have a special need or have somebody in your family with a special need to be impacted and affected by people with special needs. So that's something that's very important. As far as special needs fiction, going into the superhero books and genre that you mentioned that you write, I know, I think about the X-Men series. The X-Men are basically a whole group of superheroes that basically have special needs. Yeah. If you think about it, that's exactly what it is. It's a whole bunch of individuals that aren't quote unquote normal that are learning to adjust to their new life. I'm a comic book nerd, and with the X-Men, they as kids they grow up normal. They don't really figure out they are mutants and actually have superpowers or special needs, as we're going to call them here, until they reach puberty. So right around puberty, that's when they start developing their special need, their special gifts, their powers. And when they first come on, it's a hindrance. I mean, you know, it's you know, they got these powers now and they don't know what to do with them. And you know, they can hurt themselves and others. And it's a problem. And society don't know how to deal with them, so they shun them, they kick them to the curb, they want to be away from them because they don't want themselves to be hurt, number one, but also they don't want their loved one. And I'm talking about normal folks that see mutants or people with special needs. They don't want themselves to be hurt. They don't want their loved ones to be hurt, and they don't want to have tough conversations about what exactly is going on with that particular person. So when I think about superheroes and solid representation of what actually is going on, the X-Men is the perfect genre of comics that I really think about when I think about our community. Bernie, I'm going to start with you on that topic there.
Well, I just want to follow up on your comment that you made, because I think that's very important, the thing that you said about having conversations.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is... I think to me, that's where it all starts, to have a conversation and dialogue with people that are different than us, that we appear different than us. Because I know for me, being a person with a disability, I'm not offended by anything that somebody says. I'd rather you ask me a question about my disability or about my life so I can tell you and give you knowledge and understanding of what's going on. Instead of you worry about or feel guilt that, hey, maybe I make this person feel bad if I ask them a question. So I think it all starts with, like you said, having a conversation and just being around people with disabilities and get to understand their life and everything that comes with them.
Yeah, awesome. Trinity?
Absolutely. I agree with opening up the conversation. I think I want to relate it to this in a sense that I recently did a workshop on racism, and people were trying to figure out how they combat stereotypes. And the way that they combated stereotypes was getting involved in different things, going to different concerts, going to churches. They suggested simply going out. And in the same way, fighting stereotypes of people with special needs and disabilities, you get involved. You really actually go and experience for yourself so that you can gain an understanding and understand the uniqueness of each person with special needs and different disabilities. Opening up a conversation is the number one way to really understand someone and understand what they go through in order to be able to maybe talk to someone else and help someone else understand this particular community.
Now I'm gonna jump in. Real quick. Because I'm going to take some blame.
Ernie's a bully, by the way.
I'm going to take some blame for certain people with disabilities. Because this is what I've heard. I've heard that depending on a person and their disability, they may come off angry, or I'm not sure how to say it, but I guess angry or rude to people that approach them. So I want to reach out to the disabled community and challenge them, if you have a disability, be more open and accepting to people to step into your circle and not push them away by being rude. Maybe they're just trying to get to know you and not really trying to get into your business, but really try to have an understanding of you. So that's will be my advice to the disabled community.
For parents of someone with a disability, like I said before, my son's a nonverbal autistic at 13. Number one, this is hard to develop, but I have zero embarrassment level when it comes to my kid. Like zero, like nothing embarrasses me any longer. And you gotta be that way. You know, people will stir. People will wonder. Natural curiosity overtakes everyone. But as a parent, especially a parent of a nonverbal child, you gotta realize that you are that child's only voice, that child's only advocate in certain situations. So if you're not willing to discuss what's going on with your child with people that to kind of curb that curiosity, then what do you think they're gonna leave with when they leave that situation? They're gonna think of a movie that's a false representation. They're gonna think about, you know, all the bad things that they saw. And I think about, listen, yes, my son may have, you know, threw some food while he was eating, but last week he couldn't pick up a fork. You know what I mean? Now he's picking up a fork and eating on his own. You know, yeah, he might have, you know, peed on himself a little bit running to the bathroom, but last week he couldn't use the bathroom at all. He went on himself. You know what I mean? So you really got to be the advocate for your child, especially when your child can't speak or your child is just shy, pushback. And because the other thing is, even if your child can speak, seeing your courage when talking about their disability will make them stronger, will bring courage to them and make them want people to know, listen, this is me. There's nothing wrong with me. Listen. There's the world and there's me. Everybody want me to adjust to the world, but maybe the world needs to adjust to me.
Right.
That's what it's about. Anybody can jump in. Okay. I'm off my soapbox.
Okay. Well, I know coming as a father for a disability, I know for me, it's important for me to be strong. Because I never know who my daughter is going to meet down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to show her that, hey, I'm strong. I'm not going to use my disability as a weakness. I could do whatever I want to do. And if she comes across somebody like Trinity, for example, she'll remember, hey, I got a father that's disabled. So me having a disabled friend ain't no problem. So I'm going to accept her. And the same way I stand up for my father, when I see people might have questions or might talk bad about him, I'm gonna do that for my friend down the road too. So, like I say, it's important for me to be strong for my daughter as a person with a disability.
Trinity, what you think about this line of questioning? Like I said, like a police, this line of questioning.
I just think that when it comes to representing the special needs and disability community in general, like you said about, you know, you don't want people to falsely understand the disability community. I just think we have to strive our hardest to do everything that we can as a community, as mothers and fathers and siblings, especially siblings play a big part as well. And really trying to combat the negative narratives of special needs and disabilities. It's not necessarily fair, that we have to combat negativities, but in the future, it's going to provide more representation for this community in general. So we have to play our part as individuals in society. Like Bernie said, being strong, because they also need strong people around them. You can only be as strong as the people are around you. So be uplifting, and when they're surrounded by people, their family that, you know, encourage them and love who they are, they can really begin to blossom and be an example for other people.
Definitely. And Trini, I just want to let you know right now, if you have an event or anything where you're discussing the special needs community, I would love to be a guest speaker. And my prices are extremely reasonable for you.
Thank you. Definitely. We would love to have you.
Not a problem at all. Listen, that's our show for today. I think we hit some very important topics. And remember, every child's a superhero. Instead of thinking about your child as being disabled or thinking about your situation as a disability, think about it as a superpower. And that's the lesson for the show today. One more time, we want to thank our special guest, Trinity. Yay!
Thank you.
And for our listening audience right out there, you already know what this is. This is Linnell Key.
And this is Bernie Williams. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening. Y'all have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Well, Logan, brand new Jordan 1s arrived from Infused Shoes, and he loves them. I love them. You know, Logan, that fun-loving kid, and you know me. So thank you, Infused Shoes, for once again providing Logan with top-notch footwear at reasonable prices. I appreciate you.